Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to your mothers here. Praise God. Got scripture I want to share with you, boo. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for all the mothers here today. Thank you for my mom out in Brooklyn, New York. I'm asking you, Father, for a special blessed day for them. It's amazing what you've done through them, Lord. Use them as vehicles of bringing life into this world. Well, the whole purpose of ultimately glorifying you, the fellowshipping with you, to fill heaven with your praises of your created ones. Bless them, oh God. For those who need healing, may your healing hand extend towards the mothers here. On the live stream too, Lord. Those who are estranged from their children, Lord. For whatever reason, Lord, they're not close to their children. There's a separation. There's a sadness there. There's a loss there. Some have lost their children. I'm asking you to bring healing today. Lord, I'm asking you for healing for regret. Hallelujah. Healing of regret for all the mothers who may have felt that they haven't done right by their children in some way, shape, or form. I'm just reminded, Lord, that you, for those who know you, Lord, you work everything together for good. Everything. So I'm asking you for healing for mothers who may feel regret. And they're on their way here. They're in the live stream. They're in this room. They have regret looking back on the past. I'm asking you, Lord, that they would be well in their soul. And by the end of this service, maybe something that was said, something that was shared with a handshake or a hug would bring that healing, Lord. And for those on the live stream, I pray that even in the time of worship, healing would happen, Lord. That your precious Holy Spirit would wrap your arms around every mother here. Bring that comfort that only you could bring. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you in advance for all the things you're going to say and do today. In the name of Jesus, amen. For you on the live stream, welcome. Please give us a thumbs up, a like, or a share if possible. For you in the house, if you've got your cell phones, your iPads, or whatever, you can mute them. Your pacemaker. I'm muting mine right now. So I don't want to go off in the middle of service. I have scripture to share with you. Kind of goes along with the first offering we're going to give today. This is from Exodus chapter 33, starting there, verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle, which was outside the camp. And so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. And each man stood at his tent and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle while the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. And all that to say this, that's a famous phrase I got from somebody, all that to say this, the presence of the Lord is a precious thing. We're going to sing, you know, we have songs that we plan to sing, but we don't want to get this. This is the worship part, the part where we sing a few songs and get it done. No, we want to be in the Lord's presence and be like Joshua. Joshua was like, the other people left, the service over, we're done. No, the service is not over. The Lord is the service. There is not a thing we do. It's a person we engage with. So if there's anything we said or done, like right now, you can play that D chord, Miss Kayla. If anything we said or done that has not pleased the Lord, we're just going to give the Lord a few minutes. You know what it is. Just ask him to forgive you and get that dealt with. We take time just to acknowledge you. And we welcome here into this service. We welcome you.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, that is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, within our midst. Be welcome here within our midst. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
praise influence. Make a melody in your heart to the Lord. It could be on key, off key. Just sing to the Lord. Whatever comes to your heart.
Before everything that you made, you are God, you are God. Though the heavens should pass away, you are God, you are God. Time and seasons at your command, you are God, you are God. The whole world is within your hand. You are God, you are God. Still a mystery that you care for me. You were the first to love me, the last and all in between. Though I was lost, you bore to hear you speak. Come to me, come to me. You're the treasure that I will seek. Come to me, come to me. May my heart be true. Draw me close to you. First, who loved me, me, and at the right time, you made me yours. Now you are mine. You waited for me, and at the right time, you made me yours. Now you are mine. You waited for me, and at the right time, you made me yours. Now you are mine. You waited for me, and at the right time, you made me yours. Now you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. You were the first who loved me, the last and all in between. Though I was lost, you bore my cross.
So this is the first time we're doing this.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from his sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining. shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me. And I'm covered by his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know
our scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And just so quickly, for see a lot of visitors, God bless y'all. We do have a Sunday school, Children's Church, and you'll see some of them walking in that direction. So if you want to, after we dismiss, you just follow the line, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You may be seated, and we could dismiss our children.
Good morning. Good morning. Before we get started this morning, I wanted to welcome my wife back. She's been gone for 2 weeks, and I've missed her. Welcome home. And disregard the house when you get there. All right. I feel good about myself today. No, I really don't. But thank you guys for coming. It's so good to see everybody here today. Blessing. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I tell you what, if we could take just a minute, and Eddie, if you don't mind, would you go grab the flowers in the back? And for all the moms today, if you'll raise your hands And we've got a rose for you. Yeah, you raise your hand too. You're sitting right next to your daughter. We want to make sure everyone gets a rose. Hope I got enough. Uh-oh, we got two hands going up now. Yeah, you can't raise your hand for every kid. You have just one. They're coming. Oh, yeah. We got this anonymous note. Men, I just wanted to tell you that Mother's Day wouldn't be possible without me. I'll be waiting for my present in the living room. Love. I think that came from Jack. So, Melanie, you got some work to do when you get home. Mm-mm-mm. Well, welcome everyone this morning again. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad you're here with us. We're going to continue our study in Judges this morning in Judges chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll open to Judges chapter 14. I actually called or texted Johnny this week and had him have Debbie sing that song we just sang as we closed, because that song is kind of summarizes. As a matter of fact, I've actually used that as my title this morning. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. So recapping last week, we saw how the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, came to Manoah, came to his wife, and told them that they would have a son. And we saw in verse 4 of chapter 13 how his mother was to prepare for him. We read, "Now therefore please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, after realizing that this was the angel of the Lord, Manoah was fearful, but his wife realized that God wouldn't have accepted their sacrifice, and he wouldn't have given them this prophetic word that they would have this son, and what would happen with him if the Lord intended to kill them. Now, we discussed how God had called Samson before he was born. Very, very encouraging word for us today, because God knows all. He sees all. He understands all. And he knows everything way, way before we can even imagine. I mean, he knew us in the womb. He knew us before we were conceived in the womb. Just as he knew Samson. He knew that Samson would not be a common, gentle soul. But he called him anyway. Actually, Samson would be more selfish and easily angered, as we'll see this morning. But even in his character flaws, God would use him. So let's begin in Judges chapter 14 after we open in prayer. Father, thank you again for our time together. I thank you, Lord, for you speaking to us. You're so real for us. You're so true to us. The relationship that we have is not a religion, Lord. It really is truly a relationship. And Lord, we come together, and I guess you could say we come together religiously, but it's not about that. It's about you being here with us, speaking to us, encouraging us, teaching us, and revealing truths to us, Lord, that we need to hear, because we are in a fallen world. And every moment of every day, we're hearing lies from all different angles, Lord. You're the only truth we have. And so this morning, we choose to come to the truth and listen to what you have for us. And we ask that you will open our ears this morning to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with Judges chapter 14. Beginning with verse 1. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So, right off the bat, I don't know what you see here with Samson, but what I see is a spoiled child. I see someone who's not really respectful of his parents, nor really of his upbringing, if you will. I'm sure that his father and his mother told him from the time that he could understand what God had done and how he had come to them and told them that he would be born and how he would be a Nazarite and how he was to honor God and how he was to do these things in respect. But Samson didn't follow in order with that necessarily. Now, thinking of Mother's Day, as we can interject this for a moment, can you imagine a mom with a rebellious son? Well, some of you don't have to imagine. But the truth is that I'm sure she prayed for him, and I'm sure she was seeking God for him. But God had a plan to use him in the midst of his self-centeredness. Now, this is sometimes beyond what we can understand, because all of us, particularly as believers, all of us are praying that our kids would be respectful, that they would honor their father and mother, but they would love Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. That's our prayer for our kids. We want to see that come forth, and I believe it's God's heart to see that come forth as well. But we also have to understand that individuals have to walk the path until they come to the point where they meet Jesus. And they come to the point of submission. And we will see in this story with Samson, he really didn't come to that point till the last day of his life. And even then, I'm not going to get too far ahead, but even then, there wasn't a whole lot of humility there. It was more of, let me get even with them for taking my eyes. But what we're seeing this morning is that God honored Manoah's wife, honored Samson's mother. Everything happened accordingly to God's plan. I'm sure, though, that she was probably saying, "Lord, are you sure about this? Because this is not the one I thought that was going to be coming and doing all this stuff. He's kind of a loudmouth. He's kind of demanding." But this was part of God's plan. Samson didn't seem to be interested in what he should do, but he was rather interested in demanding on what he wanted. Now, you have to understand, in their culture, the Philistines, the women, they were off limits. They were considered unclean. Any woman that was not a Jewish woman would be considered unclean to a Jewish man. I mean, we've seen and read all through the New Testament how the Jews looked upon Gentiles. They did not respect them at all. So Samson wasn't considering what was right in his culture. He wasn't considering what would have been right for him. Even though his father and his mother pleaded with him, he wanted this Philistine woman. He saw her with his eyes, and in his lust, he wanted this woman. His dad tried to talk him out of it, but Samson would have none of it. Now, this leads me to an important point at verse 4. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. And we discussed last week that God knows all things, and in that knowledge, he knew about Samson's character flaws before he would be born. He could have given Manoah and his wife another son who would behave differently, a kinder, more gentle, humble soul. But he didn't. He knew exactly what Samson was going to do, how he was going to do it, how he was going to behave. And this is important for us to see. God chose him knowing this because he was going to use him in the midst of his flawed character. In God's sovereignty, he brought forth Samson. And instead of changing him, he used him and all of his flaws to accomplish his plan to deliver Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot bigger than I can comprehend. Because we see in our mind the image of the one God uses to be holy and to be righteous and to be acceptable and to do the right things. And honestly, as a leader in the church or as leaders, as God raises you up, these are the characters that we are to develop. We're to die to ourselves in order to be living for him. He's to live through us. In other words, it's he that lives, not us. That's the direction that believers are supposed to go. But in this scenario that we're seeing this morning, that's not who Samson was. But it was of the Lord that Samson demanded this Philistine wife. He wanted to get Samson close to the Philistines so he could use his flaws in anger and frustration and self-centeredness to do what he needed to do to stir the whole thing up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not necessarily the person that I want to be used as. I'm born with those same characteristics. I'm born selfish. And you were too. Because we're born into a sinful nature. And your mom and dad had to go through all of those times when you were demanding, and you couldn't even speak yet. Demanding to eat. Demanding to be laid down for a nap. Demanded to be changed. Lord, I'm glad we're past those days. Not all of us. We have a new baby coming. And I don't know when they're coming back to visit. We have her here, or him here. And they will be coming back. I hope that, I know, Anna, thank you for going and sending the pictures out. We got to see pictures of the new baby. But Melissa and Raiden will be coming back, and we get to meet them all. But as we look at this story, we're sitting here and we're saying, you know, Lord, I don't understand why you did it this way. And God is going to tell you this morning, as he told me, you don't need to understand it, you just need to trust me. You need to trust me. And this is where we're going to go with this message this morning. See, God uses different people in different ways. He used Esther in a completely different way. Now, Esther was a beautiful, humble woman that respected Malachi. And when he came and told her what was happening, she's like, I may die. And what did Malachi tell her? In Esther 4:14, he said, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? When God is moving and he's using people and using individuals, they are where they're supposed to be when he wants them there. And from our perspective, we want it to be all wrapped up in a pretty little package. But from God's perspective, he's going to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, because he sees well beyond anything we can conceive. He used Moses. Moses murdered a man. He used David, who was an adulterer and a murderer. He used Jephthah in our study just a few weeks back, who sacrificed his daughter because of a vow he should have never made. But yet he used them to accomplish his will. All through Scripture, we see God using those who have issues to accomplish his plans. Now, there should be a little hope for us in that, because we all have issues. Now, as I mentioned earlier, those are to be brought to the Lord. See, now that we're in the new covenant, and now that we're in this relationship with Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to come to him and say, God, I don't want these flaws anymore. I want to walk in humility. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in knowledge and recognition of the life you've called me to live, and I need to die in order for that to happen, because my flesh is strong and it keeps dragging me down and it keeps taking me down the wrong road. And as a believer, this is the attitude we're supposed to have. And I praise God that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, He brings truth to us. We can recognize it within ourselves, and we have that choice to say, no, I don't want to go that way. I want to live with you. I want to be with you. I want to understand. I want truth. I want knowledge. I want understanding. I want wisdom. I want everything you have for me. That's the desire that a believer should have. But God can still use those who haven't gotten there, because none of us are perfect yet. And every day we wake up and we open our eyes, that's the beginning of a, Lord, take me now, because about to get out of the bed and about to mess it all up. And this is the attitude of the heart that we're supposed to have. But what we see here is God's using Samson, a self-centered man with anger issues. God didn't change him, but He used those very things in him against the Philistines. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And Romans 11, 33 through 34 tells us, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor?" Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. When we read stories like Samson, when we see things going on in our own lives, it's very easy to try to be God's counselor. It's very easy to come and say, "I don't understand. You must not have this all the picture. Let me tell you what's really going on, God." And God patiently lets us vent. And then He tells us, "My ways are not your ways. Wait. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You don't understand. I see beyond the moment. You don't." Now, this requires what we call a faith walk. This brings us into the true part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. While the relationship is two-sided, it's fulfilled on His side. And this is the part we have to come to understand. Because if we don't come to grasp this, if we don't come to understand this, we're going to be fighting against God throughout the rest of our days, trying to figure out why He's not doing it the way we think it ought to be done, because we obviously know better than Him. But God says, "No, I have the whole thing under control. You're not going to understand it all. You're not going to necessarily be able to discern it all. But if you come to me and trust me in all of these things, you're going to see how my hand will move in ways you can't possibly imagine." And then it frees up the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, "Well, the Holy Spirit can do what He wants, but He's a gentleman, and He will not force His way upon you or force you to do anything." What He does is He brings you truth. He points you to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's first role. He always points to Jesus. Secondly, He confirms His Word. He always confirms His Word. The Holy Spirit will never speak to you anything that is not in alignment with God's Word. And if you're not reading God's Word, but listening to His Spirit, you better get in the Word of God to make sure that that Spirit and that Word is in alignment. Because if it's not, you may not be listening to who you think you're listening to. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us day by day, moment by moment. The closer you are in relationship with God, the closer He's able to tell you, "I need you to speak to so-and-so today. I need you to pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't talked to maybe in a while. Or maybe it just lays them on your heart and you're to reach out to them because they're going through something. You may not know what they're going through." Sometimes the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will give you a word of knowledge or a prophetic word through the gifts of the Spirit, to reach out to them and say, "I don't know what's going on. This is what I'm feeling in my heart. I just need to pray for you. I feel burdened for you." This is how the Holy Spirit works in relationships in the body of Christ. See, the gifts of the Spirit are not dead. The gifts of the Spirit are alive. The problem is that we're not accessing them because we're not committed into this relationship to the point to where we're willing to let him do them through us, and we don't claim them to be our own. You do not own a gift. The Holy Spirit gives you what you need, when you need it, as he sees fit, and he will use that in accordance to his will. But humility tells us that we're to walk in according to obedience and walk in according to his plan, not try to do things our own way, or even taking something that is God's and using it because we think this is how it needs to be done. So we're learning as we see these things. We have to grasp this. If you haven't grasped anything this morning, I want you to grab this. God is so far above us in wisdom and in knowledge. We can't comprehend why he does what he does many times. We're baffled. We have these little finite minds. Most of us are closed-minded. And so when God moves, it's like, well, that doesn't fit in my image. That doesn't fit in what I think you're supposed to be doing. This is not supposed to happen this way. And again, God says, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. We have to trust him, whether we understand him or not. See, we want everything, again, all in these pretty little boxes with bows. And many times we want to treat God like a Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle to give me this and to give me that. And if we don't get it how we want it, when we want it, the way we want it, then we want to complain to God because he didn't do it right. But God has your heart in mind when he does what he does. God has every person's heart and mind in place. And this is something to realize is that when God is moving, he is moving outside of your circle. And when God moves outside of your circle, he's got to put things in alignment in order to accomplish his plans. Now, many today may be saying, well, I've been praying and God hasn't answered. Yes, he has. He's answered. Well, I haven't seen it. Maybe you haven't seen it, but he's answered. We discussed this with Daniel last week. The angel was sent the day he started, begot detained in spiritual warfare, 21 days before he could get there to give him the answer that he prayed for. So you have to trust God's heard your prayer. Now, you have to also understand he may have said no. Well, wait a minute. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is supposed to get what I want. No. Prayer is communion with God to seek his will for your life, not yours. And God has a plan. And he's always working that plan. But we want to be the ones that decide who or what God can use in order for him to do his work. And let me say this morning, and this may be a hard word for somebody, but just hear me out. God might be using someone in your life right now that you don't like. And you're saying, whoa, no, let's don't go there. No, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just be at peace with one another? But I'm telling you something, if God is doing and stirring something, sometimes he's stirring something through people that are not necessarily nice people, and it may be to get our attention to submit to God and put them in his hands and quit fighting against it or kicking against the goads, as he told Saul. That's not an easy word, because we all like to be liked. And we don't like conflict in our life. No one does. I like to run from it. Hide from conflict. That's not what I want to deal with. But you know what? Sometimes you're put face to face. You have to deal. And God is doing something. He may be using someone, again, that you're not really all that aren't likable. And all your prayers to change that person may not be what God is doing at this time, because he's still got another purpose to work out before they can come to know Jesus. And it could be that he's breaking your heart for him so that your heart is broken for them so that they see Jesus in you. And again, that's not an easy place to come. But we have to trust that God is moving. He's working, and he works through all places and all things. Does he use ungodly people? Yes, he does. He uses ungodly people sometimes to accomplish his will. He used Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart to the point God hardened his heart. I mean, this is the whole thing. Pharaoh had opportunity after opportunity, but God used him. And then God delivered Israel. And because of his hardening of his heart, he turned and went back after him, cost him his whole army and his own life. Because in his rebellion. That God is using people and using things to accomplish certain things that we can't understand. Now, that doesn't mean, and I want you to hear me this morning, that God doesn't mean that God doesn't want people to soften their hearts for him. He does. I believe God's heart and desire is for all to receive him, for all to come to him, for all to know him. But at the same time, God knows that some won't. And he's still going to work around them, in the middle of them. Sometimes he will use them himself. I believe that every believer is called to walk in humility. But again, that doesn't mean that God can't or won't use them right where they are. It's God's plan to accomplish all that he wills for his people. And who are we to say, that doesn't make sense? I don't like that. I want it to be different. I want it to be this way. Listen, until we come to this point in our relationship with Jesus Christ to understand that it's never going to be our way, we've got to trust him in the midst of it all. Till we come to that place, there's going to be strife in your walk with God. There's going to be conflict between you and God because he's going to break that off of you. If you have a heart for him, that means you've got to give it to him. And you've got to give it all to him. And you've got to let him do the work in you and let him do the work in the others all around you. And come to this place, when we do this and we submit to him in this way, this is what happens. We receive the peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the only place to find peace. Not going to find it trying to fix a conflict. You're not going to find it trying to bring people together and make everybody like one another. You're never going to find peace there. Now, sometimes we're called to be mediators, but even in that, the best scenario, if two people won't come to an acceptance that both of them are the problem, there's always two sides to each story, by the way. If there's a conflict, both people need to get on their knees and asking God to show them what's going on in their heart rather than blaming the other person. It's all them. Oh, it's all them. Trust me, it's not. And God knows the heart. He knows the thoughts. He knows it all. This is not an easy truth, but it's truth nevertheless. And let's continue verses 5 through 9. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, we interject here again. This shows that Samson had no regard for touching or eating anything unclean. Honey's not unclean, but in the carcass of a lion, it made it unclean. That was a dead lion. He was not to touch that. But he scooped the honey. And not only that, but he gave some to his parents and didn't even bother to tell them where he'd gotten it. I'm sure they wouldn't have eaten it. But this again, you can see the rebelliousness of Samson. In verse 10, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle for you, or to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so?" Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you've not explained it to me." And he said to her, "Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you?" Now she had wept on him for 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much, then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." I don't really want to comment on that one. I will in a minute, but not. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Samson liked to be in control. There was no way that anybody would have been able to understand this riddle. He made the riddle up based on the event that took place. No one would be able to understand it. And he knew it. That's why he did it. But as we see, he has one major weakness. He can't take the pressure of a non-relenting woman crying and pleading. And this is a pattern for Samson. It will happen again. Not the first time. When Delilah comes along, she's trying to get the source of his strength, does the exact same thing, and again, he caves. Now, you have to kind of feel sorry for Samson's wife. She was put in a difficult situation. Her and her father's house would be killed if she didn't turn on Samson, but it also shows us that the marriage wasn't built on solid ground. Number one, it would not have been God's plan for him to marry outside of God using this scenario to get into the Philistines. That's not the perfect bride for Samson. He should have chosen one of his own. And we're told that he wanted her and he was pleased with her. She pleased him well, but we're not told that she felt the same way. This marriage was arranged, and I'm sure she wasn't happy. I mean, think about it. The Philistines didn't care much for the Jews either. Now here she is, forced into this marriage because he demanded it. And she's not in a loving relationship. Had they been in a mutual loving relationship, I believe she would have come and told him the threat that her father and her house, his house was against. But instead, she manipulated him. She manipulated him. He trusted her, and she betrayed him. And I do believe that's why he used the phrase, or some would call a proverb, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Samson was angry with not just them, he was angry with her. He was angry with her. And this is part of his pattern in his life. His anger controlled him. His emotional side dominated his actions. Now, you can look at that today and you can say, you know what? This happens in our world, in our culture all the time. People have anger issues. Yeah, a lot of them do. Others have self-conscious issues. They're just constantly down on themselves. Others are just down on other people. Emotions are the senses that we have in the flesh. They're real. We feel things. But in a relationship with Jesus, those feelings should not drive you. They should not control you. It shouldn't be all about how good I feel. If I don't feel good, I don't want to do it. Listen, exercise, you don't feel good to do it. And many will say, I'm going to, and then, but I don't feel like it, so they don't. And then they don't go the next day, and then they don't go the next day. And that whole plan they laid out on January 1st, on when they made this huge thing they're going to do this year, is gone by March. Actually gone by the end of January for most of us. We make all these plans and all these things, but our emotions drive us. We're lied to by the marketing firms day in, day out. You got to have this product. I don't want that product, but by the time the commercial's over, I want that product. That's what I need. We feel it. We want it. But in Samson's case, he was easily angered. And that anger drove him. God knew that. God used that. But Samson still was responsible for it. Just as we are responsible today. Are we going to submit and walk and let the emotions control us? Or are we going to submit those emotions to God? Now, that covers a whole lot of territory. I'm not going to get into the depth of it this morning. But if you're looking for somebody to fulfill your need because of your emotional whatever you think you need or don't get, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. God's the only one that can deal with that and give you that and give you what you need in the midst of that. God's the only one that can change the husband. He's the only one that can change the wife. But we're not supposed to be asking that God continue to change those people. We're come to God and say, change me, oh God. Take my emotional control out of the picture. Let me not let me walk in these things, but let me walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. And if I'm walking in the spirit, then I can be kind and I can be gentle and I can be loving, and then I can lay my expectations down of others, and I'm no longer walking and bound by that, but I'm walking in the freedom that I have this relationship with you that makes things all right, even when things don't seem to be all right. We cannot let our emotions drive us, but Samson did. Samson did. He goes out. He kills 30 Philistines. And then he goes home to his father's house. He was still mad. He didn't go back to his wife. Of course, she had already been given away, but he didn't know that yet. And we read in verse 19 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And once again, we see God moving in his life and his flawed character to accomplish his plan. Now, we're going to continue this study next week, and as we get into this study and we see that, we're going to see that this is just the beginning of the rise against the Philistines, and it's just the beginning of Samson's anger. And God is going to use him again. But Samson is still responsible for walking out in the way he walked out. We're also going to see the complacency of the men of Israel. Now, they had kind of gotten content with being under the Philistines' thumb. Because when Samson started stirring things up, they didn't like it. We talked about that last week, too. When God moves, many in the church don't like it. Why is that? It's because many in the church have gotten complacent, too. And rather than being willing to go where the Spirit goes and move as he moves, we get comfortable. And then all of a sudden, things are being stirred up. I don't like this being stirred up. I'm not comfortable going this way. I want it. No, 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 no. Don't do this. Don't do this. And sometimes it comes down to all-out division in a church because God is wanting to move and the other people don't want to. We have to come to this place of submission to God and not worry about what our expectations are, because our expectations, again, will lie to us. But he is always faithful to show us truth. I want to close this morning a couple of final verses, but simply this morning we need to put ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We just need to put ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We need to come to him with all of these things that we don't understand, and we need to give them over to him. Now, I believe that God is a healer, and God is a provider, and God gives us everything that we need when we need it. But I also believe that God sometimes uses adversity in our life in order to keep us humble. He kept Paul humble with a thorn. Paul wanted it removed. Whatever it was not, it didn't feel good. And he pleaded with the Lord three times, but what did he say? No, I'm not removing this. Why? Because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to heal and he doesn't want to fix and he doesn't want to bring correction and do all these things. I believe that God, again, he's God. He will do what needs to be done. But at the same time, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're going through something, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, no matter what it is, because we got all kinds of things coming at us in this world, whatever it is, you need to give it to him and you need to walk in him and you need to let him work in that situation and through that situation. He will deliver, but a lot of times he wants to be there with you in it for a while. Because he wants you to know him. He wants you to know you can depend upon him in the midst of all of these things. We need to give him the things we don't understand. Give them over to him, trusting in his infinite wisdom. God is moving right now among his people. And I said this last week, and I'll repeat it this week. When God moves, it doesn't always look like we expect it to. And I believe God's moving in the church right now. We're praying again. We're praying for revival. We pray for it constantly. I prefer the word transformation rather than revival. Mentioned that many times. Because I would rather be transformed into his image than be revived to what I had last week or a month ago or even 10, 15, 30 years ago, whatever it might be. I want to be transformed. And so this is what we pray for. Lord, transform us into your image daily. But as he's doing the transforming, he's got to peel that flesh off and he's got to reveal it. If you don't see the flesh, then he's going to show it to you. And that's painful sometimes. It's painful to see the things we don't want to see. But God doesn't do that to punish. He does bring chastisement. He does bring us into these places where he's showing us and teaching us and causing us to come to repentance. But the purpose is for our good. The purpose is for us to not walk, honestly, like Samson walked. God used him mightily. But his end was not a good ending. He didn't walk in humility. But we're called to. We're called to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're called to read the Word. We're called to be in this relationship, and the only way we can be in this relationship is when we get ourselves out of the way and let God do the work in us and through us. Job said this, and he said in chapter 13, I think, the first part of 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now, this is a man who's lost it all. This is a man who's got sores all over his body. In sackcloth and ashes, sitting out there scraping these sores with a broken piece of pottery. His kids are all dead. His wealth is gone. It's all over as far as he's concerned on all this stuff. His wife tells him, curse God and die. You still holding on to your integrity? And he said, you're talking as a foolish woman. Should we not accept the good and also that which is not good from the Lord? Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. This is our scripture reading this morning. I wanted to close with this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. All your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That includes that little chamber that you've got locked away that you haven't opened up yet. God knows it's there. God knows it's there. He knows when you go to it. He knows you go over there and lock it and go in there a little while and you come out and close the door. Oh, God didn't see that. Yeah, he did. Well, you say, why don't he just come take the key? Because he wants you to give it to him. He wants you to give it to him. So that's my prayer this morning. Many things we don't know about tomorrow, we don't understand, but he holds tomorrow. He holds your hand, and he holds everything that is good for you. Is that what you want? Do you want him?
Because I promise you, it's better than what you might be hanging on to. Whatever it is. All of God is better than anything we can have in this world. And it's all here for you right now. It's available today. See, many people want, they can't wait to get to heaven. I want to get to the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus said the kingdom is within you now. The kingdom of God is here. It's right here. And it's all in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek Him. Desire Him. Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Those desires will be His desires if you're delighting in Him, not your own. So, Father, I come and I thank You for this word. I thank You that You're speaking to us this morning. I pray that we will take this, and I pray, God, we will write it upon the table of our heart, knowing that what You have for us is far better than anything we bring to the table. Oh, we can still be used, but I don't want to be a Samson. I want the Spirit of the Lord to rise up within me and to use me mightily, but I don't want to be rebellious, and I don't want to be self-centered. I want to be free to say, here I am, Lord, use me. I want to walk in humility. May You take us where we need to go. Give us what we need as we need it. And let us be content with that, Lord. As You gave manna daily, they were not allowed to collect for the next day, except on the Sabbath. It would rot, and it was ugly and molded and worms and all of that stuff if they tried to save anything. Lord, what we need is a fresh move of the Spirit, moment by moment, and day by day. And I know that that's Your heart for Your people. May You pour into Your people. May we receive all that You have. And may we give to You everything within us, Lord, that is not pleasing, so that we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We praise You. We worship You. We glorify You. We lift up the name of Jesus. And we receive You and all that You are. May we walk in accordance to Your image, not try to put You in accordance to ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. I don't worry future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion maybe through the flame or flood. His presence goes before me, and I'm covered by His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Yes, I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Have a blessed week, everyone.